You're listening to Proof to Product, and this is episode number 8. We're taking you behind the scenes with entrepreneurs that run product-based businesses, people that were once in your shoes. Our TSBC alumni, speakers, and friends will shed light on growth strategies, resources, and inspiration to help you scale your creative business. Hey everybody, this is Katie Hunt, the founder of Trade Show Bootcamp, and welcome to the Proof to Product podcast. I'm really excited today to have Jason and Brianna from Brainstorm Online with us today. They have a print shop and collaborative design studio working out of a historic mill in Dover, New Hampshire. They came to Paper Camp, was that in 2013?
13, yeah.
Right before the National Stationery Show, Brianna came armed with her list of questions, and I loved it because I just kept seeing her check them off and then write down new questions as we went along, so it was awesome. But I am really excited to have you guys on the line today. They do a whole lineup of screen-printed art prints, and they do custom work, and they've got some really amazing collaboration and licensing partnerships that they're going to talk about today as well. So you guys, thank you for joining us and for being here.
Thank you so much for having us. Yeah. We're really excited.
Awesome. So I always like to start out these conversations talking about like how your business came to be. Can you share your story with us? What was the catalyst for starting Brainstorm?
Okay. So the catalyst for starting Brainstorm really stemmed from the recession in 2008, to be honest.
Yeah.
The fact that we both graduated in 2007 and 2008 and we're not really finding jobs that were appropriate for what we had gone to school for, one, and number two, satisfying, and number three, you know, in they just weren't in our field. We couldn't really find jobs. So we started going to craft shows, and we had been collaborating in college in the print studio and on design projects because I was going to school for graphic design and Jason was going to school for art education and printmaking. So we just kind of started to combine our skills once we got together in a romantic way. We were in a romantic way getting together and also starting to collaborate very early on. So we just started taking the posters that we were creating and bringing them to craft shows. So that was kind of the beginning of being able to see that it was even possible to make art and make money at the same time. So it was a blessing in disguise that there was a little bit of a recession, because I don't think that if we had found jobs right out of school, we would have been on this same path.
That's amazing. Were you guys working like other side hustles while you were growing this in 2008, 2009 and creating your work?
Right in the beginning, it was definitely like I was working retail jobs and Jason had some pretty crappy advertising.
Yeah, it was like I was the entire art department at like a promotional products advertising company, putting like logos on pencils and like garbage for like, you know, 15 hours a week just to kind of make grocery money.
Yeah, we were just trying to piece it together, and I was doing a lot of freelance work for the college that I had just graduated from.
Yeah.
So like just trying to do whatever we could to figure out a path. And, you know, we were trying to sort out our career path at the same time. So we kind of just, we had little side jobs and whatever we could to make it work.
So how did you know that you wanted to make it the leap from, I know you're piecing things together, 2008, 2009, working the side jobs and all that. How did you know you wanted to evolve this into a full-time gig for you guys, a full-time business and something that, you know, was your main source of income?
Yeah. I guess I would say that we really enjoyed working together. And that was something that was, I guess, surprising. And I liked that it also surprised a lot of other people. Because they're like, oh, how is it possible that you could work with, you know, at the time, your boyfriend and not kill each other? And I was like, oh, we could do it. It's great. I mean, obviously, we were fighting all the time, and the creative process is a crazy process on its own when it's you. But when you bring another person into it, it becomes a whole nother beast. But I really loved that, and the more we did these craft shows, and the more that we did, you know, projects together, I realized that the work was better, and we would make better prints, and we would you know, be able to bounce ideas back and forth. And that's kind of like, it just started to form this like stronger bond between us personally and a stronger bond with like our customer base, I guess you can say, because we just like a better market with the things that we were creating. Cause it, I don't know, just two heads are better than one, I guess you can say.
Definitely. Well, and it sounds like, you know, your interests and your strengths and even the weaknesses, right? Like they had to align in the best way possible for this partnership to work out. I worked with my husband for a little while. We did website development and I was like the client facing person and he was the technical guy, and love my husband. He's so talented, but we did not work well together.
Here comes the always comes the butt. I'm like, okay.
It's not easy.
It's not easy. So I applaud you guys so much for, you know, having both your professional and obviously your personal lives so intertwined. That's amazing. I think it's great.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, it's not, you know, all rainbows and everything. We fight a lot and we still fight a lot, but it's become part of our process to create, like, the tension that's created between the two of us sometimes creates better work.
Yeah. I was going to say, you guys have... your look and your feel of your art is beautiful, and it's not like anything else I see out in the marketplace. You know, what inspires you? I assume, you know, you're inspired by your life and your hobbies and the things that really motivate you guys, because it's a lot of outdoorsy stuff and that seems very much you. Like, what pushes your work forward and inspires you to do what you do?
Well, yeah, that's definitely the outdoorsy stuff, because we always dig into our own lives for inspiration. But I would definitely say that over the years, we've been formulating this whole idea of our brand as like stewards for science, nature, and the outdoors.
Yeah.
So we really, it's like we're trying, we're coming up with all these really brilliant taglines, and we're still trying to figure out how to insert them into our brand. Let's bring the outdoors in. So we love poster design. That's like the meat and potatoes of our business, and it's the meat and potatoes of the things that we want to do.
Right.
And we like to take these ideas that kind of have a deeper meaning and have, like, you know, more weight conceptually, and we just like to translate them to wall decor. I mean, it's like, I want to help other people be surrounded by these smart, you know, interesting pieces of art. So
they really are smart art, for like, you know, I don't mean to play on that word, the words like that, just as to be silly, but they're beautiful pieces, and they're so well done in the art of screen printing the way you guys do them. But there's so much depth to it too. I mean, you know, the constellation stuff you do and the national park stuff, it's just, my kids love them. I have several around our house. It's fun. I like to surround myself with, you know, alumni work too, but my kids love them and I think they're beautiful. So I think that's amazing.
Yeah, we like it because kids love it and also parents love it. It's like when we're at craft shows, we kind of cross the boundaries of age. Like when there's little kids running around, they're like, oh, you know, I see my state in the, in the States map, or, you know, whatever it is. It always makes us happier when we can reach a really wide range of people.
Yeah, you absolutely do.
Jason too has a background in art education. So we really like to kind of tie in all of these things that we, you know, the strengths of our background, I guess, to. Yeah.
Jason, which is your favorite piece that you've done so far?
Oh, man. I would have to say the National Parks one, mostly because it was a great time illustrating and researching all these different parks to, like, kind of come up with the one perfect piece that would kind of summarize the whole park. If you only got one little 3-inch by 2-inch drawing to get the whole feel and whole vibe of the park.
Right.
Yeah. That was a really good challenge. And a lot of that was one of the first ones that we had done that did pretty well, that showcased, it was really illustration heavy. A lot of the other ones, like the science prints and even the constellation prints, were a lot more graphic. More design led, you know, Brianna led a lot of those. And when we did that Parks one, it was kind of a step out to say, what would happen if we illustrated the whole thing? How would people react to that? So I think I'll stick with that.
I love hearing about that process, because I think most of the time when I talk to product makers,
in our community and outside, you know, we think about the logistical standpoints of creating the work. We think about how am I going to print this and am I going to outsource it or do it myself or, you know, what do I want it to say? You think about the words. But when I hear you talk about the research that went into the national parks and how you could consolidate this into just, you know, one small snippet to really portray what you want, I think it's fascinating. And I think it's really amazing because it's very clear a lot of thought and hard work and research and all that went into your work. It's not just a poster. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, that's like the part that we love the most. I mean, we're like eternal students and we just want to keep learning no matter what the subject is. So it almost like keeps us on our toes to be, you know, up to date on, you know, culture and science and all of these things. If we have to, you know, we're finding our inspiration in, you know, smart subjects. And it's just good. It's fun to keep learning and revisiting these ideas that, you know, maybe you might have learned about in like middle school or elementary school. It's revisit it. Yeah.
That's awesome. I love that. Well, let's talk about some of your partnerships. You guys have done, as I mentioned in the intro, like some really cool things, both on the licensing front and collaboration. So would you, a couple come to mind, you know, your Airstream project, Patagonia, Lollapalooza, like, can we drill in and talk about Lollapalooza, for example? How did that all come to be? And can you tell us about the process?
Yes.
Sure.
Definitely. You can go ahead. How they found us.
So Lollapalooza, like most of our other really fun collaborations, kind of came to us. There's a merchandise manager who works at C3 Presents, which is actually the parent company that puts the show on. Uh-huh. And someone in their office in Austin, Texas, like in the headquarters, had one of our prints up on the wall. And when they were looking to make new merch, they flipped it over. They saw the stamp and the signature on the back and found us and reached out, asked if we wanted to work together.
That is awesome.
Yeah. So, I mean, it really just came from us making prints and putting them out there in the world. We had no idea where this person got it or how they got it.
Any clients that we've ever had have come from our print work.
Yeah. Patagonia as well. Same thing. There was a print in the office in their Portland, Oregon offices somewhere. The art director like flipped it over, found our info and reached out.
Yeah. Wow. I love that. I mean, I think so much right now, you know, we hear people talking about social media and marketing and all these things. And a lot of times you just got to drill back down to basics, you know, getting your work out in the world. You never know who's going to see it.
Yeah,
you're absolutely right. Yeah. So that's how Lollapalooza found us. And so they reached out and
what did you design for them? And how did that whole process work? Did you guys have to sign a contract or?
I think we did sign a little bit of a contract in the beginning.
I can't even.
Sometimes, I mean, doing the creative and also, I mean, we have a girl now who's doing our project management for us, which has been a phenomenal, phenomenal upgrade.
Great.
Because doing all of that ourselves, plus the creative, was getting out of control. So contractually, we may have signed a little bit of something in the beginning, but ultimately, we asked them their budget. They told us, and we got to work.
Yeah, they were looking for a suite of designs for merch that they were going to make into t-shirts, tank tops, sweatshirts, blankets, pins, hats. I don't even know all the things. I don't even think we got them all. There was a little baby onesie at one point that showed up, and so we put together three different designs that they could use across all these different things. There were slight
variations
on one or the other. This one's a one color, this is a three color, etc.
Mm-hmm. Right. So their main goal was to highlight the fact that Lollapalooza was the 25th anniversary of Lollapalooza.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they wanted to take major icons of Chicago,
in the city.
And turn them into something really unique and interesting for t-shirts and for, you know, merchandise applications. So that was really fun for us because, again, the research side of all of the work that we do, it comes in handy when we're working on design projects because we love digging in and we're like, oh, so we got to tie this all together. We have to make the history and the colors and everything like work together for this like really strong piece. And we think that they came out really great. And I'm C3 Presents was super happy. So,
oh, yeah. Good. No, I loved it when I saw it. I went to Lollapalooza many times back in the day before kids and all these things I'm doing now. But so it was really fun to like see it pop up and see your work on, you know, their social feeds and on their merchandise and all that stuff. So you guys basically put together, it sounded like, a couple of concepts, and then they actually laid it out for their product. So if they wanted to put it on a shirt, they took your art and put it on the shirt.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was technically a licensing deal. Mm-hmm. Gave us a flat fee for a certain amount of designs. Mm-hmm. But the process was a pretty heavy collaboration with them. So
yeah, I think we had done like 3 or 4 rounds of revisions going back and forth, and them saying like, this isn't Chicago enough, or these mm-hmm. colors aren't going to work for our demographic. This is going to skew towards women. Let's lighten the colors up. Or,
yeah.
It was definitely a back and forth with their merchandising team.
Yeah.
That sounds like a fun experience though. Would you guys do it again?
Really fun. Absolutely. Yeah. We're looking to talk to them at the end of this week, actually, because they're working on Austin City Limits and mm-hmm. Lollapalooza again. And she mentioned us again. Yeah.
She said our design sold well. So at the end of Q1, we should reconnect again, which is pretty much right now.
Yeah. It is.
So, yeah. Hopefully we'll get to do something else with them. Yeah.
Good. Well, it sounds great too, because you are part of that. Now I'm getting a little off topic here, but now that you're part of that, like, more, what do you call it? A management company, you know, hopefully there's other work that'll feed from that too. Let's talk about Patagonia. That was more of a licensing deal too, right? What did you do for them?
Right. Again, the same situation. They found us through somebody in their office having one of our prints, and the art director reached out to us to design another suite of designs for t-shirts. We knew that they were going to be applied to t-shirts right from the get-go. So right off the bat, they took 3 of our currently existing designs and licensed them already. But one of the designs was a completely custom merging of like some of our, what is it, our mountain prints, where we have the skiing and the hiking and the climbing. And it was a merging of all 3 of those designs that was unique for Patagonia. So there was a lot of back and forth with the art director to really get the colors right and to get the layout appropriate for the t-shirt that it was going to go on. And yeah, that was kind of it in a nutshell. Yeah.
What I think, what I love to hear about these different companies that you've collaborated with, they're very much in line with your brand. Like, they very much mirror the things that you're doing for Brainstorm. And I think it makes a lot of sense that you've collaborated with these people. Have you ever had people come to you for collaborations that you didn't feel were a good fit for your brand, or?
I think so. Probably.
Nothing's jumping to mind.
Like, because we didn't say yes. It's not like I can't remember.
Well, and I guess that was my point. Like, you know, sometimes when these opportunities come our way, it's really hard to say no. We joke about this in boot camp of like, when a buyer comes up and they say, can you change this from blue to green? And can you change this font? You want to say yes, because you want the order, but that's not the best thing for your business. And so.
Yeah. Oh, no. I think there definitely has been. I can't think of anything specific that we've said no to.
But it's something you're mindful of.
We do, I think, because of our print work, I think because of the you know, the base of our work is so tailored to the specific industries, I think that's the people that do reach out. So we are lucky in that regard that it is attracting these similarly minded companies.
Yeah.
That's exactly what we want, because honestly, we don't have the time to really reach out to these clients to pitch them for design work because we're running the retail business. So there's always something to do.
Yeah.
So definitely. It's very lucky that they find us, and if we have time, we can manage to do it. So it's 2 very different businesses, but it's also one, you know, you're right, it does align very well with the clients that we do end up picking up.
But I think that's a testament to you guys and the brand that you've built. I think you articulate your mission and your values very well, and that's going to attract the right audience. So,
man, I feel like we struggle with that all the time. I feel like we thank you so much for saying that, because I'm always feeling like we're not, like, our messaging isn't quite getting out there to the right audience. Like, that's like one of our biggest struggles.
We have a lot of positioning conversations.
Positioning conversations and branding and all that. So,
well, thank you. Also, of course, and I mean it when I say it, but I think two things about that. One, positioning, branding, messaging, all of that stuff is always evolving, right? And so it's something we constantly want to be telling our story, but we want to be doing it in the right way. And so I do think that the second part of this is I think all of us as entrepreneurs are more critical of ourselves than anyone else is. So I wanted just to reaffirm to you that you guys are doing an amazing job. You really
thank
are.
Thank you. Oh, that's nice to hear. Thank you. Because we can feel so isolated in our studio. It's just the three of us here, the two of us here with Sarah. And, you know, we're always like, oh my God, are we saying the right things?
No, you are. You absolutely are. I mean, from your social media to your website, everything looks amazing. So, yes. So let's talk about Sarah, if you don't mind. When did you bring her on? And as you mentioned, you guys are the creative arm of this, and she's now handling some of the business logistics. How did you decide to bring somebody on in this role, and how has it changed your life?
Oh, it has changed it for the better. Yeah. Oh, man. So she came on September 2015. So we had just done our first New York Now, I believe. Was it the first one or the second one?
First one.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so I think it was the first New York Now that we did, and it was the month after we got back, and
it was successful.
It was very successful.
And it was like very overwhelming to deal with all these new stores, new accounts, fulfillment, getting all these products in line, and I think that was the first time we stepped outside of ourselves and we're like, I think we need some help.
I think we can't do this anymore.
Like, yeah, we're approaching, I don't know how many it was at the time, 75 stores, something like that.
Yeah, 50 to 70.
And it was just too much to manage.
Yeah.
So it was kind of an organic step. Like, we were just full. We were completely full, had no time. Mm-hmm. And
did you already know Sarah, or was she somebody that you... Yeah. Did you advertise the job publicly, or was it through a friend? Or
no. So in a weird turn of events, like, I grew up with Sarah. I've known her since sixth grade.
Oh, wow.
But she was living in Somerville, Mass, outside of Boston at the time, and had only recently she kind of moved here, I want to say, like, a month before
we hired
that New York Now. So she was up here in the area, like two towns away.
Job hunting.
We came back and we were like, hey man, we definitely have at least a part-time thing. You'd be perfect for this. Like, we actually wrote up a really nice professional looking job prospectus and sent it over. And she kind of started that way. Just like, hey, I know we're friends, but like,
we can make
it's going to be weird that I'm your boss now because I used to, like, cheat off you in sixth grade. We're going to do this. It's going to be great.
No, it's been fantastic. Yeah. She is, like, the perfect addition to our team, the most perfect addition. She is she manages all of our accounts as well as doing project management for the design side. So she's keeping us in line. Yeah. On many, many fronts.
She's actually my boss now.
Yeah.
I recently hired a project manager too. And when I told my husband, he said, what? You are like the queen of checklists and schedules and calendars and all these things. Like, why do you need somebody? I'm like, I want somebody to be the boss of me for a little bit.
Really, it's nice and refreshing.
Tell me what to do. That would be great.
Another set of eyes on everything. So it's great.
Did she start in a part-time role then? I think you said part-time. And then did she expand into full-time? How long did that take?
Well, technically she's still part-time. It
goes up and down with our sales, busy seasons. Yeah, you know how it goes.
Yeah.
Like the trade show, summer buzz, the holiday buzz, and the slower buzz of Q1.
Yeah, we're still being very conservative as far as our, you know, finances go.
I think that's smart. I have a lot of contractors that work for me too, and we kind of have some similar situations where there's busier times of the year and they work more hours for me and then there's slower times. So
exactly. And so
she's flexible. So that's a huge plus.
And she came from a kind of a corporate background, so she's enjoying this newfound freedom.
Yeah.
To some
work from home, come in whenever you want kind of situation.
The flexibility that is entrepreneurship, yet not being the boss.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Okay, so I also want to talk about your Airstream competition that you guys entered recently. Can you talk about, like, what that was and what you submitted for people that aren't familiar with it? Kind of explain what it was and how it all went.
Yeah, sure. Well, we can tell you how we ended up winning is a very, it's a pretty interesting story too.
Yeah.
We started
at the very beginning. Yeah. So we just kind of recently started outsourcing some of our printing to keep up with the demand, as our retailer list has grown. So we're outsourcing some of our printing to Mama Sauce in Florida. You know them.
Yep.
And so we've become friendly with the Mama
Nick
Sauce
and those guys
owner.
Yeah.
And he recommended us for to go to Adobe Max, this conference that was going to be out in San Diego, a creative conference. And they were putting on a marketplace for vendors and retailers who have products to sell. So we participated in that. And we got to go out to San Diego and sell our prints for, you know, a very short little
like
window
a, yeah,
at
six
the conference.
Hour, half a day thing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But we got to go to the conference for free. So that was fantastic. We were like, yes, definitely want to like get out of the studio, go experience what the rest of the design world is doing. Cause nice. I sometimes feel pretty isolated from that.
Absolutely.
So at this conference, there was, you know, like the typical conference, there was Microsoft and, you know, all these really
big wide range of sponsors,
big name
bloggers
sponsors.
And software people and all kinds of like design led companies who are in this community pavilion sort of area.
Yeah. So Airstream was one of these people that had a booth there. So we had known Airstream just from afar. We always
sure.
admired the old looking trailers.
Awesome Instagram
and
shots of people renovating them and
right.
yeah. living life on the road
life,
all that
people.
Stuff. So
yeah.
it's very, I mean, obviously we were attracted to it. It's like, kind
well,
of,
and they're a design led company. I mean, those things yeah. are beautiful. They're made
right.
in America. They last like 50 years. I mean,
yeah.
Right. Functional awesome. And fashionable. Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, that was like a natural, obviously natural attraction. So we walked into this booth and we see that they were running a little marketing campaign, a little contest that said, if you want to win this Basecamp, which is their new tiny little trailer version of their larger trailers, if you want to win this for a month in the summer, design it, put a design on it and submit it via Instagram or Twitter, and you'll be in the running to win a trip. And
yeah.
so
it was only open to
yeah.
people who were at the conference.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. So right off the bat, we were like, let's shoot high and say maybe they had like 10,000 people there. We're like, how many of those people are actually going to go for this?
Right.
Because the submissions closed, I want to say like a week after it was over.
Yeah, maybe.
So you kind of had to like get back to the studio, download the template that they gave you after you like punched in your badge name and like just start cranking on these designs and submit them kind of quick.
Yeah, it was fast.
So we're like, let's just go for it. We're going to dig through the hard drives. We're going to find like all kinds of cool stuff. And it's unlimited entries.
Yeah, you had unlimited entries.
And it's free.
Wow.
So let's just go for it.
How many did you submit then?
Seven or eight, I think.
Yeah.
So I like split it up through Twitter and Instagram so as not to flood either feed, right?
Yeah, you
right,
know.
Right.
Marketing put face on. You're not allowed to do that.
So yeah, maybe seven or eight. Throughout both outlets, and I guess it was 2-3 weeks later.
Wait, hold on. I'm going to stop you there. So you had to push it out on Twitter for the like for people to vote. Like, was it a public voting type of situation?
You,
no,
like,
no.
You put it on social media with a custom hashtag.
Just a hashtag,
like,
so they could see it. Okay,
yeah,
you got it.
There was a panel of a couple people from Adobe, a couple people from Airstream who were going to review all of these and pick a winner.
Okay. And then 3 weeks later, you got a call or an email. And what'd they say?
Yeah, it was an Instagram message first. And then
yeah.
it was an email. And it was just like, hey, congratulations. You've won the Airstream contest. Like, let's get in touch. And we obviously lost it. We were so excited.
Yeah. I was like,
yeah.
that's possible.
Yeah, we went bananas. It was
yeah.
like, I mean, there really, honestly, there wasn't that many people that did submit, but I mean, even still, who wins contests? Like, that's crazy.
Right, never,
in a whole month on the road vacation?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Exactly. So yeah, so I guess fast forward to now, this was, I guess, when did we get the word? December, January, maybe earlier.
Yeah, it might have been December.
December, I think we got the word that we had won. And so since then, they told us to dream big. Like, we're allowed to go wherever we want to go for a month in the summer.
No restrictions
There's
at all.
No restrictions. Like, they're going to give us a whole vehicle. to tow the trailer.
Yeah.
And we don't have to, like, technically we don't have to even, like, post anything. They don't, it's not even a marketing thing in that regard.
No requirements whatsoever.
Wow.
How can we not want to post and make this into something, like, so much bigger, because this is so exciting? So yeah. Our game plan and what we're trying to work out now is in July, every weekend in July, there is a Renegade Craft Fair along the West Coast. So right. It's LA, San Fran, I think it goes then Seattle and Portland.
That's how we got our start.
And that's, well, okay. I mean, so we're tying together all of these wonderful, wonderful businesses, and how we got our start is at these craft shows.
Yeah.
All like the demographics just like are so perfectly aligned. Like Renegade is all about handmade, USA made.
Yeah.
Like
small, supporting independent people like
yeah,
us.
Like
who,
us.
Yeah. Who happen so to be there now.
Airstream is all about that too. Granted, they're like a larger corporation, but their values are rooted in
Handmade, high quality,
small
stuff.
Production, yeah. On demand stuff, and so we were like, okay, so we have proposals out to all these people to try to like
see if we can get a partnership going.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I love it. I love how your brain is thinking too. The business side of me is like, yes, this is amazing. Yeah. Like, get these people in place.
Yeah, and also the fact that we get to go to these West Coast shows, which we haven't really done in a long time.
We've only done, I think, San Francisco and Texas, Austin. Yeah. Like, it's tough for us coming from all the way from New Hampshire to go.
Of course.
Yeah, so now this would be the perfect opportunity to do the ones L.A. and Portland we haven't done. It would be amazing.
Well, I can't wait, because you need to give me a call when you come through L.A., because I would love to see you.
No, there's so many people to see. It's, like, it's very exciting.
So that is all happening right now. Those wheels are turning, and hopefully
it pans out. Yeah. We can still do it regardless, but we're trying to get Renegade to or get Airstream and Renegade it on board with us bringing the trailer in to the show.
Tell that story that we just told you
the story
to everybody. Yeah.
So it's all in the works, and we'll let you know how it goes.
No, I'm excited to hear more. Tell me, when you've honed in on the details, let me know where you're going to be and when, because I would love to find a way to see you guys.
Definitely. Sure. Yep.
That's really exciting. And what a fun thing to win. I know, like you said, nobody wins competitions anymore. So to be able to like get that call. Great.
Bizarre. It's bizarre and a testament to just submit some stuff. Like, take a chance. You never know.
That's true. I was just talking with an alum the other day, and she was talking about how she had a dream store in mind that she wanted to be in. And I told her, I said, just submit. Yeah. The worst that they're going to do is say no or not right now. And you know what? That's okay, because not right now means you can do it again later. That's awesome. All right. Well, looking back, you guys have had a really amazing business journey so far, and obviously you still have a long way to go still. But looking back, what was kind of a transitional time for Brainstorm, and how has that helped you get to where you are today?
Oh, this is my favorite question that I saw. I think that we talked a little bit about this before, and we think that everything is transitional. It's never not transitional. I mean, there are some key highlighted moments, like when I came to Trade Show Bootcamp, that was clearly a transitional time for us, because we were just getting into trade shows and we had no idea what to do, what it all meant, and if that was even the avenue for us to bring our prints. And going to boot camp was like, obviously the eye-opening experience that was necessary to set us in motion for the next, 4 or 5 years now. That was huge. Very, very grateful for that experience always. Transitional, like when we hired Sarah, that was also another transition, kind of relinquishing some of that, burden of
control.
Yeah, giving up some of the control. When he quit his job in 2011, you did have a full-time job for a little while after school, after the advertising thing. So that was big when we were living in Philadelphia. We moved a lot in our 10 years together as a business and as a couple. So those were all transitional times, trying to find the right fit for what we could afford and what we could, how we could feasibly run whatever the business looked like at that time, because the business has always been different.
Yeah.
like we were more design focused at one point, and then we were like, no, no, let's stick to the craft shows, let's stick to the print work, and now we're back to doing it all.
Yeah. Well, and now too, you've really diversified your revenue stream. So that's been a transition too. Like you said, you're not just relying on the craft show income or your retail shop income. You've got these partnerships and collaborations that you're doing.
Yeah.
I feel like you should always kind of be in some state of transition.
Yeah.
It really shouldn't just be like these really hard, solid moments of change. While they are there, I always feel like we're kind of always growing in some direction. And you almost kind of look back and you're like, wow, I guess we were doing a transition like the whole time.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I love that. I just jotted that down because I'm totally going to make that like a tweetable for this episode. You should always be in some state of transition because it's true, right? Yeah. Like, especially as small businesses, one of the benefits of being a small business is we can be nimble and we can make our own decisions and we can transition or change or shift gears however we need to. But it's also scary because those decisions are up to us, right?
Yeah. That doesn't work.
Yeah. And it often doesn't. The thing when you say nimble. That's something that we've kind of prided ourselves on.
Yeah.
Yeah, we pride ourselves on the fact that we like stay super small and we stay
adaptable.
I mean, we don't have a very large staff, obviously. We don't, try to keep our overhead really low and kind of play our cards a little close to the chest until we are really like 150% certain that it's going to be the right move, because, we try to make sure that things are going to go, according to plan, if you can
quote unquote.
Say. Right. But
plan
yes.
Plan as possible.
I like what you said, though, about things don't always work out as intended either. So how do you handle it when things don't go quite, you've done all your homework, you've done your research, you've mapped it out as best you can, but it still just doesn't happen the way you wanted it to. How do you bounce back from that?
Dealing with the stress of that, honestly, being married to your business partner in those circumstances comes in handy, because there's like a deeper understanding about what the other person is going through, because you're currently experiencing it in the same way, like you're dealing with these things together. So I would definitely say like that would be a way that we deal with it, is just being able to talk it through with each other. And I don't know, I would say having a couple beers at the end of the day.
Yep.
Definitely helps when things don't work out. I mean, but on a bigger scale, we immediately tend to jump into, okay, what's next?
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, that didn't work. Something else will work. So let's focus on the things that are going to work.
Cue the next transition.
Yeah, cue.
Right? I love that. Well, my next question to you was going to be, what advice do you have for somebody that's just starting out in business and particularly a product-based business, but you just dropped a bunch of nuggets on them. So do you have anything else that you want to share? Words of wisdom?
Oh, man. The nimble thing is huge. Definitely stay adaptable as much as possible. Don't think that you need like a big fancy studio to be able to produce good work. I think I get caught up a lot of the time with, I get caught up with like how things look so much that it's hard to just produce, because I'm such a designer that like I need everything to kind of be in its place before I can be productive, and mm-hmm. I need to get out of my own way. So I would definitely say, I'm sure there are a lot of other designers and business makers. Owners, makers out there that go through the same kinds of things. But
me too.
Push through it somehow. And I'm still working on how to do that. So I don't necessarily have the advice for it, but being able to recognize that, I guess, is the first step.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Awesome. Well, what is next for Brainstorm aside from your amazing road trip this summer?
What's next? Good. What are we doing? Projects that we got a couple of projects in the works right now.
Yeah. Do we tell about this project?
Yeah, we can talk about it by the time it comes out. Come on, get out of your own way. Let's do it.
So we're working with LL Bean to make a colorized full color version of our national parks print into a puzzle.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Kind of, I guess, you know, let's play on the transitioning word again and like seeing what happens if we add a completely new product to this line. And with the help of a big retailer, and maybe we can go back to like giving some advice to some new people that like, if you have opportunities like that to work with retailers in some collaborative way to explore new avenues, I would say go for it because you never know what's going to happen. But anyway, we're working on a new product with Bean, and we're just kind of wrapping that up now. It should be coming out fall, I want to say. So that would be,
I think, in the fall.
Yeah, super exciting to do that.
That is a perfect new product for you guys.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think your prints will look amazing.
Activity thing.
Yeah, we're hoping that it becomes something because we're going to produce it. It's not like a licensing thing where they're going to produce it. Okay. Where it's going to be a product that
it's
we
ours,
sell.
And yeah, they're just acting like any other retailer. I'm just,
yeah. So it's going to be, you know,
some.
Oh boy. I hope people like puzzles. I love puzzles. Yeah. So
we do too. Yeah.
Taking a chance on that.
But also the national parks, postcard, we're going to sell, starting 2 weeks from now. We're creating a postcard set. It's our first foray into stationery.
Yeah.
It'll probably be the only thing that we sell that's stationary, but it's a postcard pack where we separated out our entire National Parks print into a postcard set.
Awesome.
So it's like just the colorized little versions. So we're going to release that very soon. We are working with a company to maybe produce a line of products, like maybe tea towels and mugs and lunch boxes maybe, and a couple of other things, and we're still working out the kinks on that.
Mm-hmm.
Could be really interesting. To
it sounds like you guys have an awesome rest of your year planned.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's busy and it's also like those are big decisions to,
yeah,
when we were just talking about positioning, like the posters are our, I think I said meat and potatoes like five times already, but the posters are like everything that we've that has gotten us this far. So it's a little scary to like want to put our stuff on other things.
Yeah. I'm going to help you reframe that. It's exciting. You get to play with other mediums.
Yeah, it definitely is very exciting. It's just, you know, you have to commit to a lot of minimums.
Of course, yeah.
That's a big, you know, scary thing in the retail world. So.
No, I know. I didn't mean to belittle your fears at all. I know it's scary. I just want you to think about the awesomeness that's around that, though. So
you also have a couple of really cool poster projects that we're working on for clients right now. So that's fun. We continue to work with, it's actually our retailers have become a really fantastic source of client work for us. And retailers are loving the fact that we can also do something custom,
mm-hmm,
for the retailers, and they can sell something unique in their stores. So we've been exploring those options, and it's working out. Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, thank you guys so much for coming on today. Where can people find you online if they want to buy your prints or learn more about you?
Okay. So you can go to wearebrainstorm.com to visit our website and our print store and see our design work. And we're probably most active on Instagram. So @wearebrainstorm is where the party's happening.
Fantastic. Yeah. Thanks, guys.
No Thank problem. You so much,
Thanks
Jane.
For having us.
Thanks for having me.
Proof to Product is brought to you by Trade Show Bootcamp and hosted by me, Katie Hunt. Since 2011, TSBC has worked with hundreds of product-based businesses to help them up-level, scale, and build profitable, sustainable companies. You can find our show notes and additional resources at prooftoproduct.com. And if you like what you heard today, please head over to Apple Podcasts to leave a 5-star review and subscribe. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back next week with a new episode.